It's time for the Apple Watchcast, new Earth Day challenge for the Apple Watch. Apple cracks down on leaked information from employees. Are third-party watch faces coming soon? Maybe not. And the Apple Watch saves another life. Reviews of WeatherLive, Crown Calc, Scroll Calc, plus a whole lot more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 232, recorded Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. Does this backplate make my watch look big?
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Chris is traveling today, so he couldn't make it, but he hopefully should be with us next week. And I'm sorry for the slight delay again this week, because I'm still traveling. I'm actually in a place called Metropolis, Illinois. It's our final show. Yeah, Metropolis, like Superman, right?
Superman's hometown. Yeah.
It's our final show for this the trip this week, and I'll be heading home next week. So I've been on the road way too long, like 6 weeks. So I'm ready to be home.
Wow.
So it's but Metropolis, it's a very southern point of Illinois, and the show we're doing is actually in Kentucky. And so we just crossed the Ohio River, so we're staying in one state but the show we go to every day is in another state, but even though it's 10 minutes away. But
How funny.
Yeah, about as far south in Illinois as you can get, I guess. Anyway,
do they do anything with their name here?
I think there's a big statue of Superman around here somewhere. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I saw a billboard on the way in. That's I think there's something. There's something going on with that. We haven't had time to get out and explore yet, but with a name like that, you think they would, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, take advantage of that. Even if it's copyrighted or whatever. Maybe it was named after that. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, looking forward to actually being home. I got a couple of packages waiting for me, which should be some nice hardware reviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. So looking forward to that as well. We got some stuff to talk about in the news. But anything else you want to mention before we dive in? It's been a little while since our last show. We haven't even had time to chat here. I mean, how's everything with you? Are you okay?
Super busy. Okay. Super busy.
Super busy. Because you had talked about going on the road too. Has that started yet?
That's starting at the end of April. So it's going to be week-long trade shows. That'll be fun.
Oh, great. That's the exact time I get back. So I'm just going
to... Yeah, but I'm open on the weekends. So it should work.
All right. I'm going to hand the baton over to you for traveling. How's that?
There you go.
You can take over from there. All right. Time to move on. Here we go.
Apple Watchcast News.
All right, time for the news. And the first thing up I want to talk about is we got a few patent things to talk about. But the first one here was Apple was hit with yet another patent infringement lawsuit. And this one is actually over the Apple Watch's heart rate technology. Did you happen to see this? This came from a company called OmniMed Sci. They're based in Michigan. And they focus on near-infrared broadband lasers. Okay. And they allege that the heart rate technology in the Apple Watch infringes on their patent. And now apparently they say they actually met with Apple over the course of 2014 through 2016, and that Apple ultimately ceased talks about a potential partnership. And shortly thereafter, they introduced that this technology apparently in the Apple Watch. Now, the only thing that makes this a little suspect to me is that this lawsuit was filed in the Eastern District of Texas, which is the infamous place that all of these different patent lawsuits get filed. It's a very patent-friendly place to file them. So that makes me immediately think patent troll, right? That maybe they didn't come up with this, that maybe they bought the patent. I don't know the details of it, but it sounds a lot like that. So we'll see what happens with that. Probably what happens with all of these will either settle out of court or, you know, a year and a half from now, we might hear about it.
But yeah, that does, this guy like makes a living off of this.
They do. I guess they figure if they buy enough of them, right, and they file enough of them, they may lose 99% of them, but the 1% pay off. So that's part of the reason they do it. Let's see, what else is going on this? Oh, a new Apple Watch activity challenge is now set for the this is the second year in a row for Earth Day. So you need to do a 30-minute workout, and you'll get some eco-friendly sticker packs as well as an award. This is the second time they've done it. Now, last year you had to either walk, run, or cycle, or wheelchair, or swim at least 30 minutes to unlock it. Apparently this year, they're taking any type of workout. So they've made it easier, I think, don't you?
Sure. Get more people involved.
Right. Now, this is going to be April 22nd. And as we record this, we are recording on the 17th, Tuesday. So this is coming up soon. It's going to be hard for me. I think I'm going to be on the road that day. but... Well, they take anything. Does driving a car for 30 minutes, does that count? No? Okay. Maybe I can get it.
If you're waving your arm outside the window.
I want different time, yeah. I want different awards and stickers for driving. I think that's they should give those.
I was going to ask you, do you actually use any of the stickers? In your messaging?
I have a confession to make. I used the first time I got them, I used one, and I've not used them since. Have you ever used them?
No. Actually, the first time I came across it was my daughter was just messing around with the messages because she likes to text emojis to everybody. And she came across the button that, you know, had the stickers. And I was like, oh, that's where they are.
Oh, you didn't even know where they were. Yeah.
I never had a need to send a sticker.
If you want to send these, you get a spinning recycling logo, a windmill, and then the 2018 badge. So there's three of them there you can send off. But yeah, I mean, of course, I don't do a lot of that sort of thing anyway.
Yeah.
Much less put the sticker. If I did, I bet I'd put the stickers in, but I just don't.
If you can get it as a watch face, then yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole nother story. We'll get to that in a minute. That I would love to happen. But to go along with this Earth Day, before I forget, Apple and store employees are going to be wearing special green shirts instead of the navy blue that you normally see them in. And I think that started already. You may see them in the stores this whole week wearing these special green shirts. So look for that.
Are they recyclable?
I think they wore them last year. Yeah. same shirt. That's pretty funny. You know what? They may. I mean, I kept all of my shirts when I worked there. I'm sure they do too, right? I don't think you have to turn them back in, but unless they changed the design for this next year. I don't remember what it was last year. But what else is going on in the world of Apple Watch? We got a new beta. Yet another beta. I think it's, what is the number on this one? It is 4.3.1. In fact, we may already be up to 4.3.2. I don't know. I can't keep track of all these, but The one that's 4.3.1, I think, came out last week, had a very interesting feature in it that will warn users about old apps. Okay, so apparently Apple is dropping, as we mentioned, all support for Watch OS 1, WatchKit applications, which is part of the reason Instagram dropped their app for the watch. Well, now, apparently, with this beta version, if you try to launch an app that was created with Watch OS 1, it will tell you that the app needs to be updated. It says this app will not work with future versions of Watch OS. The developer of this app needs to update it to improve its compatibility. So they're now, they won't work at all. So that seems to me, I mean, I don't know. Does this say they just need to be updated and it would still launch? Or will it not launch at all?
I think it just says improve its compatibility. I think it will launch, but you'll get this weird message. Okay. I'm not terribly concerned about like the app not being compatible.
Yeah.
My biggest concern is when they stop, you know, allowing for the new OS to be installed on the old watches. That's when you know you're like, oh, okay, it's time to get new hardware.
Yeah. I mean, so this at this point is just shaming the developer.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. They're shaming the developer, saying, you know, shame on you. You should update your app. And I guess this is why Instagram dropped, right? They knew this was coming. And now the other question that people are asking, does this mean that in Watch OS 5, which we're going to get to at some point this year, will those apps that were built with Watch OS 1 not work at all? And I would imagine they would. That would be the end of it. Now, if we remember back, and the longtime listeners of the show will know this, but a lot of new people won't understand how this has progressed. Watch OS 1 apps were extremely slow, and they relied completely on the Bluetooth connection to your phone. So basically, if you didn't have your phone attached, that app would never even launch, would never even open. If you didn't have your phone nearby and tethered, connected. And I think relatively quickly, like within the year, they updated it to what, you know, to where they got better and faster. I remember that. So these apps are pretty old, if you think about it. If they've had no updating whatsoever since then, yeah, they either need to go away or be updated.
Yep, sounds fair.
Yeah, we're going on 3 years here. That's an eternity for software.
Yep.
Anyway, so look for that in the next version of the update of the OS, whenever that comes out. And wow, Apple getting a little touchy here about leaks. And I love this headline. This is from 9 to 5 Mac. Okay. It says, Apple ramping up effort to stop leaks with legal action, according to leaked memo. So that sounds like a headline from The Onion, doesn't it? According to a leaked memo, they're trying to stop leaks. So apparently, this was a leaked memo that Apple has told its employees that anyone who leaks internal information will be fired, face legal action when possible, and risk becoming unemployable at other companies.
That's crazy.
That is really strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it referenced specifically the iOS 11 Gold Master leak, where we first found out what the iPhone X's name was. We found out about Animoji and the cellular Apple Watch Series 3, all ahead of the event. So they were a little pissed off about that still. and they said apparently at the time, whoever did it, that employee has been caught and fired within days.
Yeah.
But apparently other heads have rolled since then. So, yeah, what do you think about all that? Too much?
Yeah, it's a little bit over the top in terms of like, you know, threatening that you'll never work in this valley again, you know? But it's kind of something that they're trying to get back to in terms of privacy. But like, you know, Facebook's recording all your conversations anyway. So
Yeah, everything you say and do. We should, you know what? We should never worry about how well we're recording our episode, because it's being recorded somewhere, right? We just got to find the source.
That's right.
You know, my microphone
something's listening.
Yeah, my microphone didn't work real well. Do you mind giving me a copy of that? I know you were listening. So now I was looking at some of the replies to this, and someone had said, it's a shame that all these Apple leaks devastated the company by producing record sales and all-time high stock price.
Right.
So, yeah, okay. But I think it's something different. I think they long for the days when Steve Jobs would make a presentation and no one knew anything about what was going to be revealed. I think that's a different era, and sadly, I think it's gone. But I think they still want to believe that they live in that time period, you know?
Well, I don't know how much it affects their stock price. I don't know, rumors, how much that causes the volatility.
But yeah.
I don't know.
But it always corrects.
Like they're hurting here.
Yeah. No, it always corrects itself. I mean, there's never lasting damage from any of it. But you know what I'm saying? There's a nostalgia there, I think.
I think, you know, well, actually, to think about it, it might be a competitive advantage just to have that kind of head start. If everyone kind of knows what you're working on and they can just copy the design and your suppliers are leaking the molds or whatever like that and Samsung gets their hands on it.
True. Yeah. I think when we think about the Apple Watch when it was released, how we still to this day have no real numbers. We have no idea how many for sure. We can guess and speculate, and a lot of people do, but and they're probably pretty close, but Apple itself has never stated it. And I know why is because Tim Cook at first never wanted any competitors to know how successful it was. He wanted no competition. So that's part of the reason. But anyway, they're cracking down. Anyway, I love that headline. Yep. That is classic. And I love the fact that we learned about it from a leak. I think that's just poetic. Let's see what else is going on. Apple. Oh, okay. And I thought we had mentioned this, but maybe it was Series 1. Apparently, if you have a Series 2 Apple Watch with swollen batteries and different power issues, Apple is now going to offer free repairs.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. And this, I'm sorry, I correct myself. That was for the first gen, the beta version of the watch, as we call it. They did allow that. Now they're doing it for Series 2. So if you have.
Do you know if they still support the beta? Or is that over?
At the time, it extended the 1 year warranty by 2 years.
Mm.
So let's assume you bought it. Well, it depends on when you bought it, right? How long did they sell the one?
It was like, I don't remember.
Because when you bought it, you got a year, and this extended it too. That still might be in effect for some watches.
Yeah, I think it was like 2015, right?
Yeah. Check your receipt for that. But now it will be available for the Series 2 for swollen batteries under certain conditions, and there's other power issues that may arise from that. And right now, it's only limited to the 42 millimeter watch. Apparently the 32s do not, or 38, sorry, do not have as much, as many problems. So
I'd like to know if any listeners are having this issue with the Series 2. Yeah.
Now, we had a listener with the Series 3, having power issues, draining and whatnot. But I've not heard of anything on the Series. Well, we did hear some people when Apple first mentioned this, back with the Series 1 issue, we did hear from Series 2. There was some, but I don't think there was a huge amount of them.
But much less.
It's lithium ion batteries. It's going to happen to some degree. I mean, it's a volatile technology, let's put it that way. Okay, back to some patents here. Apple filed, and I'll try to get through these quick, a patent filing suggesting baseball bat and golf swing analysis.
That's cool.
Yeah, new advanced sensors on a watch band to evaluate sports performance when using third-party equipment such as golf clubs, baseball bats, footballs, or barbells. That's fun.
Or barbells. Interesting.
Yeah.
With just one arm, though.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Oh, now I know why you have to buy two watches.
Yeah, buy two watches or you're going to look funny. You have one arm bigger than the other. But Apple proposed putting motion sensors on the band itself, like an accelerometer and a gyroscope, flex sensors as well, which would be able to determine the expansion and contraction of your wrist muscles.
Hmm.
Yeah, it would require two.
Maybe you can have a separate band on one, and then the screen on the other.
And they would be Bluetooth connected to each other and share the data. Yep. That's kind of cool. All right, so look for that down the road. What else? This was from Patently Apple. Apparently Apple won like 57 patents all at once, and one of them was for a rounded Apple Watch interface. So this was apparently applied for shortly after the watch came out, I think. But they've now been granted that patent. So will it ever happen? I doubt it. But they have a patent for it. And then the last thing here I want to talk about, this just came out. I just saw this today. Apple is investigating replaceable Apple Watch battery packs. Have you heard of this?
They come up, I haven't.
Yeah. It's a way to affix to the bottom plate of the watch band. And I don't know how this would work. They're calling it a rear plate. Okay, so it's called an auxiliary electronic device attachable to a wearable electronic device. So it shows how an add-on plate could be placed on the Apple Watch back while two sections on either end extend to fit in the band slots. And then what you attach also has band slots. So then you can put your band on it. But think about it. If you slid something like that on there, it would connect to the port, right? That infamous port that no, Apple's not allowed anybody to touch. So it's kind of weird to think about. They describe it as the arrangement gives the effect of minimal changes to the appearance of the Apple Watch when viewed from the front. But while it will make the entire assembly thicker, right?
This just reminds me of the humpback on the phone.
Yes. Does this back plate make my watch look big? I mean, this is really strange. But they're saying they could be either battery packs or other types of features and sensors.
Yours, yeah, I can see that. Other features would be nice.
But wouldn't that block the sensors that are already there?
Well, right? If it has a pass-through, it looks like there's a gap there.
Maybe. Isn't it? Maybe, but that way...
At least it lets the light through.
Well, there's a very important sensor that it might be blocking, which is the one that locks and unlocks the watch, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, it has to have contact with the skin, so maybe this takes its place. I don't know. But they're exploring that. So we'll see.
It's a bunch of lasers, like the guy said.
It'll go through anything. Maybe it's clear, right?
Yeah.
That'll work. Okay. Let's see what else is going on. Okay. Speaking of rumors, and this got way out of hand, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but apparently Apple may be considering allowing third party developers to create custom Apple Watch faces based on a line of code that was discovered in the latest Watch OS beta. Okay. So that sounds really cool and exciting. However.
And then.
What?
However.
However. I'm going to burst your bubble here. There was a developer who posted something that said, he tweeted this. He says, haven't third-party watch face config bundles been a thing for years? I wouldn't get too excited about a log message just yet. In other words, that code's been in there for a long time. And somebody noticed it. and brought it to light. But every media outlet that reports on tech has put out headlines saying Apple about to release third party watch faces. It's like, no, I don't think they are. I really don't. I would be shocked if they did. So let's not get too excited about it. Just because it's there, it's like a patent. Just because they have a patent doesn't mean they're going to do it.
I think this article brings up a good point. I mean, like the Hermes and the Nike watch faces mm-hmm. have been around for a long time. And so not opening it up to third-party developers, is it just a way to prevent them from, you know, creating another Hermes knockoff screen, that kind of thing? Is it some sort of legal agreement Maybe. That they've had in place? Yeah.
It could be, but
it's
I
not
think
technological.
Yeah. No, I think it's Johnny Ive's desire to completely control the experience, like it is for everything, like Steve Jobs did too. They want to control the experience. Well, it's easy for them to do that because they're the ones in charge of you know, approving these things.
Yeah.
If you opened it up, just be real strict about what you approve.
I guess it's kind of like allowing you to change where the icons live on a phone. I mean, you can do that on like an Android, but you can't do that on a phone.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, I don't get too excited, everyone, just yet. And then finally here, I want to talk about a story. A woman who credits the Apple Watch with saving her life. This is from Scranton, Kansas. Her name is Heather Hendershot. She was watching television one night when her Apple Watch buzzed with an alert that her heart rate was too high. It was over 120, she said. She felt fine and thought a good night's sleep would lower it. I couldn't feel it going fast. I couldn't feel it beating hard, is what she said. The next morning, her watch indicated it was still too fast, so she decided to have it checked out. The urgent care doctor sent her to the ER. They did some lab work, and they came back. They noticed she was having a problem with her thyroid, and she was diagnosed with thyroid storm, which I've never heard of. And she said, "I had no idea that even existed, but it can be fatal if untreated." So she says that the watch saved her life, and she keeps it on now day and night. And she said, "I will not take it off." And she didn't think she would need the heart rate monitor when she bought the watch, but she's glad she has it. And now her husband and her aunt are also planning on getting the watch as well. So
no kidding.
Good for her. There's another case of that happening. So go get your thyroid checked, but also make sure that you have that setting turned on your watch. Do you have your set?
Oh yeah.
To alert you over what did you set yours at? 120?
Yeah, I think it's a standard 120.
Yeah.
I haven't touched. Yeah.
Right. But for those who haven't, go into settings and change that because where is it? It's in health, right? Is that right? Is it in the health
section? I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Because that's very important to do. Oh, okay. Sorry. You have to go into your you think doing this podcast we would know. All right, so if you go into the watch app on the phone, not the health.
Right.
Go to the watch app. Under My Watch, right? Go to Notifications.
Yep. Huh.
And under Notifications, go to Heart Rate. And it says Elevated Heart Rate, and you can set it right there to any level you want.
Heart Rate. 100, 110, 120,
130, 140, 150. Did you see it?
Nope. Oh, no. Now I know why. Okay. Yeah. I don't have an Apple Watch 3. It's only on the Apple Watch 3 that's doing it.
Really?
Yeah. I remember setting it on my wife. Yeah. My wife's watch. That's why she's wearing it.
So
the Apple Watch 3 is the only one that actually has constant measurement of the heart
rate. Okay. So if you have an Apple Watch Beta, Series 1, Series 2, your SOL.
Pretty much. So, yes.
Wow.
If you have a heart condition, get an Apple Watch 3.
There you go. Okay. I think we know who Apple values here. Okay. No, that's a good point, though. That's a good point. I forgot about that. It's the Series 3. And a lot of people still have, like you have, the original. I still have one of the originals. I only wear it every now and then, so I don't really get back into it that much. But anyway, saved her life, so that's pretty cool. All right, anything else in the news? I think it's time to move on.
Yep.
Here we go.
The Apple Watchcast. App reviews.
All right, time for app reviews. And let me kick this off. I have, with all this crazy weather we've been having lately, I have probably used all of my weather apps several times a day with all the traveling I've been doing. The snow has followed us from city to city, and everyone has told us that, oh, it's unusual to have this kind of weather in April. Well, I know it's our fault. We keep bringing it with us, but I've been using weather apps quite a bit here lately, and I have a new one for you. Yes, there is one I do not have. Because as I always say, you can never have enough of them, right? Anyway, it's called Weather Live. Okay. And I don't understand the title because live means current, and I don't think I'd want a weather app that told me what it was yesterday. Anyway, it's called Weather Live, weather forecast and rain alerts. It's a free app, but I think it's only free for like 3-day trial. And then you have to pay. I think, but paying gets rid of the ads and it gives you some premium features. And I'm still very confused on the pay model of this app because when I looked at it, it says $1.99 a week.
Wow.
Does that sound like a lot to you for a weather app? I'm not a meteorologist, okay? This is not my profession. But $1.99 a week is quite a lot for weather app.
I can pay someone for just to call me and tell me what the weather is for that much.
I'll do it for you. Go ahead. but you know, and then I saw they had an option for $9.99, so $10 for the year.
Okay,
and that's much more doable. Yeah.
Okay.
Now the ads in the free version are quite invasive. They're like throughout the entire content on the page on the iPhone app. Mm-hmm, it's actually between the segments of information. It's not just down at the bottom. And I know that would drive me crazy. If I didn't, I paid for this. I bought the app because I wanted to try this thing out. But if I didn't, there's no way I would use the free version. I just would not use it. It's just too annoying. And I understand why the ads are there, right? It's for revenue. It's to make you pay. But man, they're so annoying for a free version of an app. Now, having said all of this, I would say only get this app if you intend to pay for it, okay? Because that, again, that will drive you absolutely nuts to see all those ads. And the app itself, though, is... And the only reason I bought it or was even interested in it, it's a very nice, it has beautiful graphics and typography, which is very important to me in an app like this. The weather is displayed in a nice large circle, and it has a lot of information on it. So you have, and this whole thing is like over a background moving image of the current weather, okay, like a photo that actually kind of moves. It's a very nice feature. You can actually just tell the weather by looking just at the image on it, which is really nice. I'm going to launch. Sorry, we were looking at the health app here on the phone. I don't have it launched up here for you. Let me open the app, and I'm going to tell you some of the stuff you can get off of this because it is pretty amazing, the amount of information. So see, like right now, I look at the app. I've got a nice dark sky with stars because it's evening here now. But it's telling me the temperature. Obviously, what the feel-like temperature is, the minimum, the maximum for the day, chance of precipitation, pressure, the conditions, the wind speed, the time. It's got a warning bar at the bottom that tells you any sort of weather warnings that come up. You have a short-term forecast, you have a long-term forecast, and then you have a report weather. So you can actually... report back to them what you're actually seeing in that place. So if it's not accurate, if all of a sudden you're in the middle of a huge thunderstorm, you can report that, which is kind of nice. Tells you the sun and the moon, what quarter it's in, if it's waxing or waning, the time the sun rises and sets, the wind speed, the wind chill, the wind direction, all this stuff is in here. Dew point, humidity, precipitation. Like I said, this is like for weather nerds. Visibility, you know, how far can you see right now?
I'm looking at the default weather app and I'm checking off what you're reading here.
Oh, you are? Everything.
So yeah,
there?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, pretty much. Not the local crowdsourced reporting though. But yeah.
Right. Now this app will follow you for travel. So wherever you go, It will automatically tell you the weather where you are, which is good. It's got maps, radars, all sorts of things in here. Wow. Now if I tap on a particular day or time, and it gives you kind of breaks down the hours, I also get a like a bar chart that jumps out to show me with the little icons what's happening with the weather at every hour as we go through, which is kind of cool. Graphically, it's a really nice app. And having said all that, now let's go to the watch. Okay, so on the watch, you get this nice large type with the temp. You get the condition, and any of the weather warnings are listed below that. Let me call it up here and make sure I've got this so you can see it clearly. Yeah. So it gives you all of that. And what's interesting, though, is the icon at the top of the watch will change with the weather. So either it's a bright sun, partly cloudy, et cetera. Really nice graphic, and it changes like, I was checking the weather and I look back like 5 minutes later and suddenly there's clouds on this icon. So apparently it's a little bit cloudy in the area, just the few moments I was checking the watch. So that changes as you go through it. If you scroll the crown, you can report the weather like I talked about. If you swipe left, it reveals quite a lot of information. So if I swipe left, I get all of those things I just mentioned on the watch. Right, wow. Wind speed, direction, sunrise, sunset, dew point, humidity, visibility, precipitation, chance of precipitation, pressure, all that stuff is there just by swiping. If I swipe again one more time, then I get a list. I think it's in every 3 hour increments of the with icons that show you what's happening as well as the temperature with the time. Now, the one thing it doesn't have is a long-term forecast. There's no extended forecast on the watch, and that surprised me. A lot of other watch apps have that, and I've already paid my $10, so there's no going back there. But you don't know this until you get into it, right? I couldn't get past all the ads. If you force press the watch, you get the option of refreshing the information. That's all you get. So if you're a weather junkie, this is a good app to have. I'm not sure about the pricing, though, and I really don't know if it's worth it at this point. We're so used to apps being almost free that when one charges something like this, but $1.99 a week? Really?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
I don't understand. I mean, the $9.99 a year seemed to give me the same premium features.
You just want the weather for that week.
Yeah, just that week and then cancel it, right? Well, is the $1.99 a week, is that there just to make the $10 a year seem cheaper?
Ooh, psychological play.
Yeah. I don't know. It's actually very nicely designed. It's a beautiful app. But they describe it as the most beautiful weather app out there. Not sure about
that. How are the complications? I mean...
None that I could find.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not even temperature?
Mm-mm. No, wow. I when I go into complications on a watch face, it's not in the list.
Interesting.
So, yeah, which I was kind of sad to see that. So, not a glowing review here, but, you know, it was a weather app I don't have. So, it had that going for it. But, yeah, that's it. It's called Weather Live, if you're
weather
interested.
Weather Live.
Yep. All right, Vince, what do you got?
Well, I had a little bit of nostalgia this week, and, you know, the smartwatch first started out as a calculator watch. And that was one I had back in grade school. And I was like, well, yeah, the watch doesn't come with a native calculator, right? And you can ask Siri and you can use your phone or whatever, but I just wanted to look to see whether or not there was any calculator apps around. And the Apple Watch being what it is has the digital crown. I was interested to see whether or not anybody leveraged that for calculators. It turns out that there is, and it's called the Crown Calc. I'll say that very carefully.
Okay.
C-A-L-C app.
Okay. All right. And, you almost made our show title, but not quite. Okay,
and so essentially, you use a digital crown to dial the numbers in, and then you click the operator, and then you dial the second number in, and you get the results. And as you scroll the second number, the answer also updates immediately. But it's very difficult to use. In terms of like the operators, it's very confusing, and it's made by a German, so it may be backwards, and I'm not quite sure understanding how to do this. So what I've done is you dial in a one, and then you click like the plus sign, for instance, and then it then kind of stores it in memory, and then now you get the second number, and then you dial that one in. But if you want to do subtraction or multiplication or division or something like that, you can't type the one and then you hit the subtraction, it starts to go negative on you, or multiplication, and it doesn't know what to do. It's very weird. So the only way to get around it is you dial the number, hit the plus sign so that it puts it in memory, and then you click the other operator like multiplication, and then you get to dial in the second number. So it's like really weird. I don't know how they do math in Germany.
You lost me a while back with the crown. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, like you literally take the crown and you dial from zero up to wherever number you want, right? But it's like, I thought it was like something like it's in terms of the icon, it was circular. And it's like, okay, I see that where you could type in a number or something like that and use the crown to choose an operator. But anyways, that did not turn out too well. So I downloaded a second app called Scroll Calc.
So you have a second app. All right. Okay.
A second app. This is a full-on calculator like you would expect. So it looks just like your the one that's on your phone with the little orange operators on the side. It has all the nice little buttons like you would expect. The only reason why it's called Scroll Calc is the whole thing basically fits in a scrollable area on your watch. Okay. So it's not worried about like trying to squeeze all those numbers in there. And so the display kind of stays static, but your numbers and everything else can scroll. You have the option to change the color of the operators, plus, minus, whatever. You can also switch to dark mode so that the numbers are on black instead of white. You type in the numbers, you punch them in, and you use it like a normal calculator. It also has a tip calculator. So if you, at the bottom left corner, if you touch that and you type in the number you touch tip, and it has built-in percentages so that you can dial whatever using the crown, what percentage you want to add to that number. You scroll to it. And then at the bottom left of that, you can divide the total. So if you're dividing it across a number of friends,
right?
You could take the entire total plus tip and get that all. So both of these apps are free, not $1.99 a week. So, you know, I was just trying them out. Both of them are native to the watch. So if you wanted to look at it on your phone, there's nothing there. It tells you to go to the phone. I mean, go to the watch.
Go to the watch, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Mm. Why do some Apple devices have a built-in calculator and others don't?
I don't know. Like, the iPad doesn't have one.
Correct.
Like, you would think it does.
That's so weird to me that it does not.
Right.
The watch I kind of understand just because of the real estate, right? It's a little difficult to do. But the iPad, it's just the opposite. I mean, you've got more room than you could ever imagine to put a decent calculator in there.
Yeah. And you don't want to use Siri to ask her, like, you know, what's 56 divided by 7?
Right. Yeah, you could use Siri, but do you really trust what Siri is going to tell you?
Right.
You know, did she hear you correctly? Is she giving you the wrong answer? I don't know.
I actually tried to ask Siri to load Scroll Calc. She told me to watch my language.
Really?
she, She did.
Wow, you got sassy with Siri, didn't you? She did not like that.
She did not.
That's funny. All right. Yeah, and we've done, I think, a couple of other calculator apps in the past for the watch early on.
Right.
It's a good thing you looked at it because I haven't really looked at that category in a while to see what's out there.
Yeah, it's a good utility.
Yeah, nice. All right. I'll put links in the show notes to both. Do I need to bother to do the first one?
The Crown Calc? I mean, maybe if you want to give it a try.
Okay.
And if you figure out how to use it or if the developer actually updates it to work.
Okay.
Like the US style, maybe? I don't know.
All right. Well, this is normally where we would do listener feedback, but we've had a lot of news this week, so we're going to do that listener feedback next week. And I promise I will get to some of the audio comments that we have. It's very difficult to do those on the road, and I apologize for that, but I will get to those when I'm back at home next week. And we will probably record, I think, on Tuesday evening again, is what I'm shooting for next week. So look for us again later in the week, and hopefully we'll be back on a regular Sunday schedule after that. So, again, thank you for all of your emails and comments. We love getting them and answering them here on the show. Especially thank you for those audio comments. Keep those coming. Send all of your comments to comments@applewatchcast.com. Anything else before we swipe right to end this episode?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent, for being here middle of the week. I know that's difficult to do sometimes. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support this show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It doesn't cost a lot and helps us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to some of the stuff we talk about on our show can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, and don't forget to post a review while you're there. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And we'll try to address it here on the show. Look for us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all the rest. Have a great week. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on iTunes.